Back in January, I did a four-part series on circumcision, and I just this week got a sweet, sweet email from a listener that I want to share with you because she has shared some information with me that I think will help a lot of you mamas out there who might be still struggling with this whole circumcision issue. So I hope you'll stay tuned and listen because I really, really think this is going to help you a lot. Let's go. Are you a Christian woman yearning for a beautiful, joyful pregnancy and birth with a focus on God, not medical tests? Are you worried the birth you want isn't possible and you're tired of being treated like an accident waiting to happen? Hey mama, I'm Lori, host of Your Birth, God's Way. I'm a certified nurse midwife now, but I wasn't always. After working for nearly 20 years in the broken maternity system, I too was in your shoes wondering how I could have the birth I wanted and that I felt God meant for me to have. I found a secret that has actually been known since the beginning of time. God's way is the best way. Spoiler alert, God made us and our babies, and He knows us best. He designed us perfectly for pregnancy, birth, and nourishing our babies after birth, if we work with His design and not against it. In this podcast, you'll learn how to be healthy and have joy during this time of life that will be over before you know it. So if you're ready to reclaim your birth and your babies for His glory, go turn on a few episodes of Bluey for that little one on your hip so you can put the focus back on you for a few minutes with me.
My name is Crystal Maddox, and I had the privilege of participating in Your Birth, God's Way live online childbirth education course. I only learned about Lori and her podcast about 2 weeks prior to the launch of this course. I'd listened to several episodes and knew I wanted to learn more, so signing up for this course was a no-brainer for me. If you're like me, I didn't know anything about birthing options and what I wanted my quote-unquote birth plan to look like. I didn't even know that was a thing. As a Christian, however, I did know I wanted to glorify God in how I approach my pregnancy and the forming of the precious soul in my womb. Lori has a ton of knowledge that you'll want to play the videos over and over again to get it all in as she goes through all four trimesters, which includes postpartum and decisions needed to be made for your little one when they arrive. It's a no-judgment class with Lori's opinions, but she wants you to follow your heart, trust Christ, and make the best decisions for you and your baby. This Christ-centered class serves as an amazing resource to help you make those decisions. Personally, I was initially going to have a hospital birth, just following what most folks do in our culture without considering what would be best for me. After learning more about birthing options, I realized I wanted something different for me based on my personality. Lori gave me the confidence to follow my heart, and though I was already 35 weeks, I made the decision to leave my OB and find a birth center. I had a beautiful water birth, and I was able to experience it with a positive attitude based on the information that I learned during this course. Thus, I would highly recommend this course, and I have no doubt it'll bless you as it did me.
Review time again. Our review today comes from somebody that I don't know their name, and their screen name is just a bunch of letters that don't make any sense. So sorry to whoever took the time to leave this awesome review for me. I can't give your name credit, but you'll know it's you when you hear it. The title is Empowering Podcast, Exactly What I Needed. I was searching for something with a Christian perspective that talked about parenting, and I stumbled, and then in parentheses it says, guided by God, onto Lori's podcast instead. This was about 6 months before I got pregnant, and what a blessing it has been. I went from wanting to get pregnant and not thinking much past that to a whole new way of thinking and wealth and a wealth of knowledge. Lori talks about it all and had really helped to open my eyes to what I want in pregnancy and birth in a way that honors God's design for us. I'm now just over 5 months pregnant, and I've done so much to prepare for our little girl. I did take advantage of the midwife power hour that Lori offers, and I would highly recommend you do that if you're on the fence about anything or if you're just looking for a little reassurance. I also plan to take advantage of her birth class as well. I've learned so much and couldn't be more grateful for this podcast and all the hard work, knowledge, and love that Lori shares. She speaks faithful wisdom, and whether you're trying to conceive, pregnant, or just curious to learn from a faithful perspective, you're gonna love this podcast. As I read that, I can hone in on who I probably think it is, but I'm not gonna guess out loud. But thank you to whoever you are that left me such a nice review. If you are the one who has not left me a review yet, though, understand that these reviews really are the fuel in my tank. They keep me going. So if you would take 30 seconds and just hit pause, go over, leave me a quick 5-star written review. It would help me so much, not only to encourage me and tell me that I should keep going, but also to help me find other moms like you who could benefit from what I share here as well. So normally on this podcast, I take a little time to write myself an outline just to make sure I stay on track, that I talk about the things that I want to talk about, that I don't forget important points. But this week is a little different, or this episode is a little different, I should say, because this episode is mainly going to be me reading to you, because I think it was last week, I received an email from a listener who really shared her heart with me. And I'm not going to identify who she is, but I am going to read what she said, because I just bet she's not the only one thinking the things that she shared here. All right. So I'm just going to read her first email to me, starting about midway through, because the first parts were just encouraging notes just for me. She said, "I'm writing to you though about your series on circumcision. It cut me so deep. I have been questioning whether or not to circumcise, especially after having researched it just enough on my own to think I knew what it was all about. I watched one very tame video on my own, a video in which the parents are both in the room and the doctor uses lidocaine quite liberally. By the way, lidocaine is a numbing medication. Still, I knew that I, as a mother, wouldn't be able to endure it, but my husband wanted it, and after all, God required the Israelites to do it, right? So it must be a good thing, for a good reason, and with good consequences. I told my husband that if he wanted it, he would have to take the baby in for it. I couldn't participate. Enter your podcast. I found out that the sanitized version I had seen online was not the norm. The knowledge of the pain and trauma that are caused to most baby boys just overwhelmed me with grief. I was wrestling with God big time. How could he ask his people Israel to do something so cruel that caused such agony and such debilitating damage to his boys in a day and age with no pain management whatsoever? I knew there had to be more to the story. The devil is always twisting the Lord's commands. I found the answer in this article pasted below. The circumcision that we know today was not what God commanded his people to do to their little baby boys. I was so relieved to read this that I cried. I'm still crying tears of relief. It's all these pregnancy hormones making me so emotional. Thank the Lord for his design." Okay, so with that, I'm going to read to you the article that she shared with me. This article comes from a website that seems to be designed all about circumcision. The main website page is CIRP.org, Circumcision Information and Resource Pages. So sounds like their whole purpose is to help people understand circumcision. The specific page that she sent me, I will put in the show notes. The title of this article is called Circumcision Then and Now. It's from something, I don't know if it's a magazine or some article, but it was called Many Blessings, Volume 3, pages 41 and 42 from spring of 2000 by James E. Perrin, EDD. So the Doctor of Education, EDD. The first section, the heading is Mila, Symbolic Circumcision of Covenant. Now, for full disclosure, I did not go and fully verify everything that is here because I really don't know how I would. I don't know where to look to find what they did so long ago. So that being said, we're going to just have to take this article's word for it, or I am taking the article's word for it. You are welcome to go and verify it yourself if you would like to. Obviously, that is well within your right. But I think that any insight that we can have into what was done for circumcision back then will help us to understand this a bit better. No matter what was done then, there is no command for this now under the current law, because the old law was nailed to the cross. And that is a whole deep Bible study that I can't go into with you today. But we are not under this old law, so we are not required to circumcise our baby boys. But even knowing that, I know that many moms, like this sweet mama who took the time to email me, do struggle with wondering why this was ever a thing. Why did God make this a thing? And so I think this is going to help us. Okay, back to the article. The original biblical circumcision of Abraham's time was a relatively minor ritual circumcision procedure in which only the redundant end of the foreskin extending beyond the tip of the glands was removed. This was called mila. It is from this term that the Jewish religious covenant circumcision ritual bris mila or brith mila got its name. Following mila, a penis so circumcised would still contain a considerable portion of the foreskin, and the penis would have continued to go through its natural development since most of the foreskin would have remained intact. Protection of the glands would still have occurred. The foreskin would not be stripped back off the glands and would naturally separate from the glands gradually as the child matures, much as it would had the child not been circumcised. A sensitive frenulum would not have been disturbed or removed, and the foreskin remaining would continue to cover and protect a substantial portion of the glands, especially when flaccid, and the glands would appear uncircumcised. There would be minimal loss of sensitivity or intended protection. This type of circumcision continued throughout the ages and during the time of Christ. The circumcision of Christ would have been this type circumcision as referred to in the Bible. Indeed, biblical reference to circumcision is strictly this form of circumcision. It continued into the New Testament. It has been argued that Michelangelo's David should show David as circumcised. Interestingly, Michelangelo presented David precisely as he should have appeared following an infant mila circumcision. His glands is essentially covered, with only the tip of the glands showing. All right, the next heading is changes to the ritual circumcision procedure. It says no other feature was added to the religious ritual until about 140 AD, when a second step to the ritual circumcision procedure was introduced. The next heading says pariah, the laying bare of the glands. After performing mila, the cutting back of the end of the infant's foreskin, a second step, pariah, was then performed. Pariah consists of tearing and stripping back the remaining inner mucosal lining of the foreskin from the glands, and then, by use of a sharp fingernail or implement, removing all the inner mucosal tissue, including the excising and removal of the frenulum from the underside of the glands. The object was to ensure that no part of the remaining penile skin would rest against the gland's corona. If any shreds of the mucosal foreskin tissue remained or rejoined to the underside of the glands, the child was to be recircumcised. This is a much more radical form of circumcision. It was dictated by man and is not the biblical commanded circumcision rite. Its introduction has a bizarre history. The rabbinate sought to put an end to the practice of youths desiring to appear uncircumcised by stretching the remaining foreskin for social, economic benefits and for sports competitions. By introducing the painful and debilitating pariah, they would obliterate the foreskin completely, such that proper circumcised Jew could not disguise the, quote, seal of the covenant. From this point in Jewish history, the male's glands is directly affected by the circumcision procedure, and the denuded glands and traumatized infant will heal with considerable nerve damage and loss of sensitivity. Again, it is important to note that this is not the covenant circumcision of Abraham defined in the Bible. Next heading, this one's a little harder to pronounce, metzitza, the sucking of blood from the wound. Okay. It is what it is. During the Talmudic period from 500 to 625 AD, a third step was added to the Orthodox circumcision ritual. It was not universally adopted by all Jewish groups, but became a practice of the more Orthodox groups. This third step was called metzitza. During metzitza, the mole takes the now badly bleeding penis into his mouth and sucks the blood from the wounded part. This was most probably adopted to collapse the major blood vessels to stem bleeding and to extract any induced bacteria from the wound and blood system. In effect, it often introduced infection, such as tuberculosis and venereal diseases, with very serious and tragic consequence, as reported throughout history. More modern-day mohels use a glass tube placed over the infant's penis for suction of the blood when performing metzitzah. In many Jewish ritual circumcisions, this step of metzitzah has been eliminated. The next section says the introduction of routine infant circumcision. Routine infant circumcision was introduced in the late 1800s and throughout the 1900s on the pretext that it offered health and hygiene benefits, would stop the habit of masturbation, and proffered an endless list of presumed cures for a variety of ailments and diseases, as mothers opted to use physicians to give birth in hospitals or clinics rather than using a midwife for home birth, the practice of routine circumcision of male infants blossomed and became nearly universal. As one would expect, many of those experienced in the procedure were Jewish physicians and moles. They taught, and I may be saying that word wrong, I apologize, it's M-O-H-E-L-S. They taught new physicians to perform the surgical procedure as was practiced by Jewish ritual circumcision procedures. This meant that most infants underwent a fairly radical, complete form of circumcision. What was performed was the Jewish milah, followed by pariah, with most, if not all, of the foreskin being removed and the frenulum either severely damaged or completely removed. This remains the routine infant circumcision procedure to this day. Many males throughout these past decades have suffered the lasting physical, psychological, and sexual dysfunction of consequences of routine circumcision, which they did not choose. That's the end of that article. I bet you got a funny feeling in the pit of your stomach right now, because this is yet another thing that Satan has twisted in such a way that our babies to this day are being negatively impacted in ways that are lifelong. It's sickening and it's nauseating and interesting to see that this practice became more and more popular as women were coaxed out of their own homes to give birth in foreign places called hospitals. That was one of the things that was then manipulated because women were no longer in the privacy of their homes. And so it was much easier to talk them into different things. How many boys are walking around today missing a part of their anatomy that God gave them on the basis of this distortion and lie? And it continues even today, probably as I speak. It's sad and it is tragic, but it doesn't have to happen for your boy. You, mama, who are listening to me now, you have the truth. Now, what's even sadder to think about is all of these things that were introduced into circumcision all came about after circumcision was no longer even required by God. Because in the New Testament, he teaches us that he doesn't desire circumcision of the flesh. Circumcision or not circumcision, that's not the point. It's the heart. And yet, they've added these things on and on. Now, to clarify, circumcision did happen in the New Testament because until Christ died and rose again, we were still under the old law. But after that, it's a whole new covenant. And that's not a part of it. But that's yet another thing that's been twisted and lied about. Mama, you've got to really dig to find the truth these days in pretty much everything. This is just one element. And I appreciate so much this sweet listener for taking the time to send me this message and send me this article so that then I can share it with all of you who are listening to know the truth. I will be putting the link down in the show notes for you. I'll also put some scripture references because some of you may be wondering what I'm talking about when I say that we are not under the old law, that we are not required to circumcise biblically at this point in history. And I'll put the references down in there because I don't have them right in front of me. I'm just speaking out of my heart right now, but I will give you the references so that you can go study, because I don't ever want you to just take my word for it. You need to study to show yourself approved, as the Bible says. You need to dig for yourself to find the truth yourself and make sure that the things that I say and that the things anybody else says really are the truth. But I think that you will find in this case, this is one instance that you can pretty reliably know that what we've been sold as being a good thing, as being beneficial, as being even so much as required by God, is all a lie. And so your boy from here on out, any boys you have from here on out, you can make a difference in their lives going forward and in their boys' lives and in every future generation's lives, because there won't ever be any more of this wanting to look like dad, because they'll already look like dad just like they're born, perfect and whole. See you guys next time. Real quick, if today's episode blessed you in any way, would you head over to Apple Podcasts and leave me a quick 5-star written review? It'll take you less than a minute, but it's the best thank you you can give me. And it will help my show to reach more mamas just like you, so we can all find God's best for our families. I'll see you right back here in a few days.